Yo, it's Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. You know the music, but you may not know the show. It's the Hockey Card Strategy Show. First episode ever. I've got my man Cardboard Richard in the house. We needed a hockey expert so that we could do a hockey card strategy show, and I met one at the Mint Collective. My new main man, Cardboard Richard. What's up, man?
Hey, man. My favorite little buzzer that I use for my breaks. But hey, thank you for having me. I'm super excited. I should be on another conference at work right now, but my mind is on the hobby right now. My mind is on sports cards right now. So I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I'm talking about sports cards and hockey in particular. So,
yeah, same here, man. Same here. So for those of you who don't know Richard, he's a dynamic individual, wears many hats with finesse. By day, a senior bank leader. By night, he transforms into Cardboard Richard, a sports card enthusiast. He is the breaker and founder of Cardboard Box Breaks. Cardboard Richard's love for sports card dates all the way back to 2014 when he started collecting in anticipation of the release of Connor McDavid's rookie cards. This passion, you know, led him to establish Cardboard Box Breaks, where he shares his love of the hobby with fellow collectors. In addition to Cardboard Box Breaks, Richard dabbles in the Web 2, Web 3 space. He has business ventures there too, and he leverages his skills and knowledge to bring innovative solutions to the market and is always on the lookout for new opportunities to grow and expand his business. So, just like you started in anticipation of McDavid, we know there's another Connor. There's another Connor on the horizon, so it's good time to start the Hockey Card Strategy Show, Richard. So we met at the Mint Collective, and we're kicking off this show. We're going to do a series of the Hockey Card Strategy Show. Why don't you give us like a little bit of an overview, since I just kind of introed you? Why don't you give the audience a little bit of an overview of today's episode? What are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, so it's going to be back to a little bit of the basics of the different products, a bit of the history behind the different products and releases here. And the big reason why we want to focus on that is because of the excitement of Bedard. So I was just talking about, or you just mentioned, Paul, we have a big up-and-comer generational player coming up, very similar to McDavid back in 2015. So usually around every 8 to 10 years, we see a generational player. So that's exciting times. There's going to be a lot of excitement in hockey in general, but in the hobby as well. So I wanted to talk about the different products because that will lead us into future episodes where we'll talk about how you can leverage some of these strategies to invest in Bedard. Obviously, the playoffs are happening right now as well, so exciting times. We'll touch on that a little bit and how to invest in the playoffs. But given that we've been talking about McDavid a little bit and his reference in comparison to Bedard, we'll talk about 10 of McDavid's top cards as well. So we'll awesome. See on that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want anybody jumping in and just buying a bunch of hockey cards because they're super excited about it just yet. We want everybody to understand kind of the background. And then over the next three or four episodes of the Hockey Card Strategy Show, everybody should be ready to invest, I think. So we're excited about that. And for those of you who are familiar with Cardboard Richard, you may recognize him from the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell episode. He was on episode one, and he showed a lot of great stuff dating all the way back to, I think, the early 1900s and all the way up to the Cup, which is one of the highest end hockey release. So also real quick, Richard, before you jump into it, in terms of like the history of hockey cards and everything like that, quick shout out to Bob's Card Market. So for those of you who want to join the Discord, bobscardmarket.com, click on the link to join the Discord. Great discussion happening over there. Got to be some hockey cards every once in a while popping up on the Discord. So shout out to Bob's Card Market. And Golf Card Collector chiming in already. So good to see Golf Card Collector in the house. Mike LaCusta, he has a question for us. We'll hit on that later for sure. So before we do that, Richard, why don't you kind of give us an overview of maybe elaborate on the health of the hobby in terms of, you know, as it relates to hockey cards. Maybe talk about just kind of the overall landscape of the hobby, specifically for hockey.
Yeah, so it's timely because I just came back from an expo, and it's the Toronto Expo. That would be probably our biggest card show in Canada. And as you know, Canadians love our hockey. So unlike maybe some of the other card shows I've been to, perhaps in the States, we're seeing about 90% hockey and 10% of everything else. So almost the opposite. So it's my playground. I love it. And yeah, so I fly down every November and April to the Toronto Expo. I don't set up. I actually enjoy going around and talking to different people, talking to different vendors, retailers, and whatnot, and trying to make some big plays and trades. I don't know where to begin. So you know what? This lasted a while. I'll say the last 6 months or so. It felt like a little bit of a lull because the market was going down a little bit, right? We kept hearing, especially the lower end cards, they were dipping a little bit, and we'll probably look at market movers a little bit later and do that comparison. However, with that said, the shows are buzzing, right? Like the amount of people going to these shows was buzzing. I'll even reference, I think Jeff mentioned Sports Card Investor, right? He mentioned at the National, it's going to be even bigger than previous years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we see a little bit of a drop and a little bit of a lull, but yeah, the expo was really buzzing. In fact, I was actually really surprised. I was looking through my Instagram today. I was looking through my Facebook today. And when I said I struggled picking up cards I wanted, I really did. There were many cards I wanted to buy on Thursday. I thought about it a little bit. By the Friday, by the Saturday, they were gone. And okay. Now I'm looking through my Instagram and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, they were actually at higher prices than I expected as well. So some of the really rare cards, a lot of the higher end cards, people are starting to pick up again. They see it at a fair price. So it's very interesting, a little frustrating for myself. Yeah, I was surprised. So I see it in an upward trend in terms of at least momentum and engagement in the hobby. So yeah, exciting times.
The Toronto card show was on and popping, especially as it relates to hockey. What were some of the cards that you maybe wish you would have pulled trigger on that were gone by Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, so there's a McDavid Exquisite I really wanted. So it's a big card. It's a big card. PWCC had a couple for auction, missed out on those. So I was trying to pick up one there. I was hesitant on this card, but I did pick this up. So it's not the most beautiful looking card, but I'm starting to pick up cards where, hey, if the value drops on the card, I'm okay with it because there's a story behind it. So here it is, 1994, Be a Player. The significance behind this is, well, two things. The autograph, the 10, is really, really important for Wayne Gretzky, it's a 10 for this particular card. It's even more important. I'll explain why in a bit. Nine grade is not bad for a 1994 card as well, and probably one of the higher grades as well. So the significance of this card is Wayne Gretzky had a rookie card back 1979. So he had cards for a very long time. This was 1994. However, and he might have signed before that as well, but this is his officially licensed product where he signed. So as in like on card auto, this is his technically first auto ever made. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I don't think everyone knows about that card. And yeah, I figured I'd share that. And I was quite happy with that pickup. I was hesitant a little bit because I don't know if I overpaid, but again, it goes back to, if it's a card I feel I can keep in my PC that I'm willing to collect and hold long term, and if I keep sharing this story, who knows, maybe it will keep going up in value. So yeah.
So when we look at market movers, and if you want to get your first month for only $1, you can use the promo code NOOFFSEASON at marketmoversapp.com. But it looks like the hockey 2010 to 2017 market over the last 90 days has seen a jump and then stayed, you know, it's come down a little bit, but it's stayed relatively flat and plateaued. It looks like the, you know, the other three sort of areas that I'm able to compare here on market movers is, are the, 2018 to 2020, the, 2000 to 2009, and then the 1990 to 1999. So just kind of overall sales volume though, it looks like the hockey market in the 1990 to 1999 only has 18 cards. So I don't know, Richard, if any of this kind of sticks out to you as notable, but I mean, overall, it looks like pretty healthy market compared to the overall sports card market in general. Any thoughts on this or any thoughts on like where the opportunities lie right now, given the current landscape of things, or how it relates to kind of, you know, maybe the history of the hockey card hobby?
Yeah, so I guess similar to the other markets, we have seen people push more towards more of the vintage stuff, right? And the more rare stuff. So I'd like to think, I think even in basketball, a lot of overprinting was happening in 2019 onwards, right? The pop counts were ridiculous. We were seeing that in hockey as well. So there are a lot of opportunities, and that's why I'd love to go through the products eventually here, because when I first started getting into this hobby, I really knew of only three products, because as hockey collectors, those three products had a lot of history, had a lot of background to it, had a lot of significance to it. We'd always be collecting those. But we started to see that in the latter years, 2018, 2019 onwards, those pop counts were going insane on some of those cards. So that now opens up a lot more opportunities for some of these other products where they are numbered cards, right? There is still significance, and they look good as well. So, and some of them do mimic some of the basketball and baseball cards as well. And that also adds to that significance because of that uprise in those sports and loving that hobby as well, right? So, I would say, as much as I love the young guns and it's very, very liquid, that seems to be, that's the Upper Deck Series 1 product. Most people, when you think of that, maybe, what would you reference that as? Maybe not the Chrome, maybe a, I don't know, like the typical rookie card, the first rookie card ever.
Okay, maybe like an NBA Hoops, where NBA Hoops comes out and it's the first
NBA Hoops before the Chrome. Yep. Yep. Exactly. So exactly that, maybe a little bit higher end on that because of the history behind it, but that would be the most collectible, or the most collected type of card, the young guns. However, the pop count is just ridiculous. And they started printing a lot more in 2015 with McDavid. I would not be surprised that they'll be printing a lot more with Bedard as well. So
the history of Upper Deck and creating, creating the cards as we know them today, maybe walk us through a little bit of the history of the Upper Deck releases and, kind of what's most relevant. You mentioned Series 1 and Young Guns. That's certainly something, you know, I remember hockey cards in the early 90s, probably during the overprinting days, a mass production days. I remember Upper Deck, obviously being at the top of the hockey card market. There was Pro Set back in the day. That's obviously gone away in terms of the licensing and things. It's exclusive to Upper Deck now. And then of course, Young Guns. I mean, I think Young Guns, we see Young Guns as the rookie card, the first card, as you just mentioned. So yeah, maybe talk us through kind of like the history of Upper Deck and hockey cards as we need to know the releases. So you started with Series 1. I don't know if that's the place you want to start and go through like the relevant releases, how they're released in the calendar, or if you want to take us back through the years, however you want to kind of give the history as relevant to the audience.
Yeah, you know what? I'll go way back here because I am a big fan of this set here, and I talked about it in my show and tell. So the history of hockey was 1910. So it started off in 1910. So think of like the Honus Wagner of the cards, right, for baseball. This here, is an Art Ross card, 1910. Art Ross showed up twice in 1910. That would be the very first ever produced card. They were inserted into cigarette or tobacco sets, in 1910. There's a 1911 set as well. So very, very collectible set. Hard to find. So if you're into vintage, I'd suggest exploring that a little bit. 1920s, there's the American Gum Company. I won't go into that much. There is significance in 1950, so you might hear that a lot. Parkhurst focused on the Canadian market. So you'll see the Maurice Richard, Gordie Howe cards in there. Maurice Richard, also named after a trophy like Art Ross, meant for the player that has the most amount of goals. So there's some significance there for Maurice Richard. 1970s, that was obviously significant with Wayne Gretzky. So the peachy cards, they had both the English and French cards. And then as you kept going, like you were saying, the pro sets came in, the scores came in, the upper deck came in. So a bunch of different other companies came in around that time. That's kind of like our junk wax time where, again, a lot of hype, but at the same time, there was too much overprinting. So shortly after that, we really only saw a couple other companies survive from there. Panini came into the market a little bit, but they stopped producing in 2013. And then since then, Upper Deck's been dominating the market, and they have full licensing, right? Similar to how basketball has a Panini as their full licensing and Tops for baseball, right? So, Upper Deck is kind of the there's an Opeachy product in Upper Deck, but everything's all under that Upper Deck umbrella.
Okay,
so when we're talking about products and stuff, we'll focus on Upper Deck today.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen here in a second, and you can walk the audience through all of the Upper Deck releases. I think that'll be very educational for everyone. And before we do that, though, you mentioned Opeachy and the Gretzky rookie. So there was a Tops and an Opeachy, right? And so correct. I guess I have two questions. Now it seems like Opeachy is sort of a brand that Upper Deck owns. It's kind of the same way that like Donruss is a brand that Panini owns. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So that makes sense. So now, but back then, Opeachy was a company, correct? So there was basically a Tops and an Opeachy Gretzky rookie. And for those of you baseball collectors out there, you'll notice this happened a lot in baseball as well. So tell the audience like what the difference of those two Gretzky cards are and why one is, I guess, significantly more valuable than the other.
Yeah. So if you show the different charts, you'll notice that Opeachy does a lot better, right? And probably one of the points of that would be they're still around as a company, right? So there's still that brand presence for Opeachy. But there were both English and French cards. For Topps, it was just the English. Opeachy, I had the both. So you go back to rarity. So obviously not as many French cards were printed, and that increases the value of the Opeachy cards because they had the French version. So I would say that's the main thing. Honestly, I never collected a whole ton of them. I had two of them myself, both a Topps and an Opeachy. That's a history I know about those two. And I would assume that's the reason behind why one's more valuable than the other, because you don't see Tops in hockey anymore, right? They're not licensed, whereas Opeachy still is. So
makes sense. All right. So let's jump back into Upper Deck. So Upper Deck in terms of historical and significant buys, the fun rip releases and the stay away releases. You want to take us through these at your, you know, however you want to do it. And I'll share my screen here and ask any questions that pop up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I put more of the newer products in there. No different than any other company. We're constantly releasing new products, right? But these are some of the products that either have stuck around for a long time or they've kind of emerged in the last couple of years, right? So they're still significant today. Separated into three different groups. One group is a group that I'm really bullish on, which is that buy group. The fun rip group, it's a mixture of stuff, and I'll dive into it a little bit more on why I think they're fun, because you can pull some really unique pieces there. I got the stay away releases. Now again, all of this is my opinion, and you'll notice one at the very top there where it's a little controversial, because some people would put that in the buy. So I'll speak on that as well. But the stay away releases, either they don't have the history behind it, or they just don't hold up in value. Just to be very honest, right? So I've put those in the stay away releases. So even when you think about breaking and stuff like that, this might help you, because you might be jumping into breaks come the darn year. There's going to be a lot of products coming out. Often when there's a big generational player, they'll add even more products, right? So that's why really focus on the historical and significant buys, because there's two things. You want to look at the player, right? And then secondly, the product's a big key on ensuring there's value over the years, right? So
yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. All right, so why is Upper Deck Black Diamond a stay away release for you?
So Upper Deck Black Diamond used to be, they've been around for a little bit. So there is definitely significance there. In 2015, McDavid's year, they turned that into a high-end product. And now that product is quite an expensive product. You think of a box, it ranges between $400 to $600 Canadian. Okay. For one of those. So it's on the higher tier side. With that said, I just find they keep playing around with that product a little bit and testing it out. There you can have some really nice pulls there. However, I'm not seeing that the values really hold up. I'll use an example here. This is a big big pull in that product. McDavid 2015 year. Sorry about my little, okay, there we go. PSA 9 as well. Now the issue is with this product, it's very nice because it's got that that nice surface to it, but it makes it very, very difficult to grade. So a PSA 9 is actually quite strong for a card like this. As you can see, there's a lot of like foil and stuff, so it could make it a little bit more difficult to grade as well. When it comes to these big high-end cards, that grading is quite important, right? So that's a downfall for the Black Diamond. Beautiful card, but it doesn't hold up in value. Something like this in another product should be much more than a $3,000-$4,000 card. So that's where it's at right now. And when you're paying $600 a box, and this is a case hit, and it's very hard to find, and there's only 199 of them, it should be a lot more in price value. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point. And how many cards come in a box of Black Diamond? I didn't do my homework on this.
I should know that. How many boxes in a case, or how many cards in a box?
Yeah, how many cards in a box? Because you said it would be about 400-ish per box, correct?
Yeah, I could pull that up really quick. I believe it's six or so. I know Breaker Jordan does it, but I don't usually break that product. So, and that's why I have it on that list. So
gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense as to why it wouldn't necessarily be on your, why it would be on your avoid list, basically. So, I'm trying to pull it up as well. But while I do that, I want you to jump over to the cup in a second. So let's see if we can find this. I mean, someone in the audience may beat us to it, but Upper Deck Black Diamond, if we're looking at like, you know, $100 or so a card, then yeah, that's, here we go. So it's Yeah, it's single digits card per box here. Definitely a beautiful looking box, but in terms of the 2021-22 release, I want to say eight. It's either eight or six. It's like blacked out by the packaging that I'm looking at. Okay, anyway, let's go over to the cup. So this is your jam, right? Tell us about the cup, why you love it. I think you break a lot of it. Just give us all things the cup and why we should buy that.
Yeah, we only focus on the cup here at Cardboard Box Breaks. And the big reason for that is it's the top rookie card for any player. It comes from the cup. So I want to say it's like the National Treasures, but it could be... What would be a higher tier from National Treasures? Because would that be the highest tier?
I think it would be. I think it would be tied for the highest tier, maybe Flawless. If you're talking about basketball and football, you're talking about NT, you're talking about Flawless, Immaculate. If you're talking about baseball, though, you're going Bowman Chrome, First Auto. And I think, you know, that, you know, those are the major sports, soccer. You're probably going Topps Chrome or something like that. Auto, low serial numbered. But, so yeah, I think that's probably where you're going with the cup, huh?
Yeah. So that would be the top tier, right? Every card, aside from that, so there's six cards in a 10.
Okay.
10 is like this. Oops. This is a box in a tin. Okay. Yep. And there's six cards in there. There's six of these boxes in a case. So not many cards at all, right? In an entire case. Usually there's two rookie patch autos in a box, two base cards, and you could pull some other autos in there as well. So the base cards are all numbered, but they're not autoed. The other four cards are all autoed and some have patches as well. So for example, this here would be one of the cards that you could pull. It's a Nathan MacKinnon rookie limited logos, big patch there. Beautiful patches on all of these cards, and they're autoed and they're numbered, right? So, and they're often low numbered. You think of the rookie cards, they're out of 99. So there's only 99 of them. And these are the top rookies that Upper Deck selects. Usually about six of them have out of 99 cards. The other rookies have out of 249 cards. So when you're also thinking of investing, you want to look for the 99 cards, right? So I think of like a Leon Draisaitl that I showed last time. Unfortunately, although he was a third round draft pick, he was a 249 card. So his he's the second best player right now, and is consistently the second best player in my mind. However, his value is less than a lot of other 99 values, like Kirill this year. Easy going above $5,000-$6,000 Canadian, whereas a Draisaitl is maybe half of that right now. So maybe 4,000, for example, right? So that numbering is very important for the cup. But yeah, there's significance because if you go back to 2005, that's when this product came out, and you had your Crosby, you had your double year, Crosby and Ovechkin. Those are generational players, and then you see McDavid in 2015, and you'll see Bedard. These are all kind of generational players in my mind. So this product has a longevity in it. Also, the exquisite product, the exquisite rookie patch autos are in it as well. So yeah, you might be familiar with that.
The exquisite brand. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, good to know. Had no idea. So exquisite brand name is something that we've talked a lot about on the Golf Card Strategy Show. And of course, it's familiar to, you know, basketball card collectors, because a lot of the basketball stars have exquisite autos and exclusive to Upper Deck. And then even like soccer phenoms like Alex Morgan has like some pretty sweet exquisite autos. So definitely a recognizable brand. Speaking of golf cards, real quick, we're going to take a quick detour and get to golf card collectors' question in the comments here. He says, are there many hockey cards with images of the players golfing? I actually do know that hockey players typically make really good golfers, anecdotally. Yeah. So I don't know if that's if that's a softball question for you, Richard, or a hard one. Are there any well-known or deep cut cards with hockey players golfing on them?
So not that I know of that keep value. So I do remember seeing a lot of these cards, especially in that junk wax era. You see like a Pavel Bure in roller skates. You see like, I think I've seen a golf one of Cujo. It's Curtis Joseph. So it's like you see them kind of inserted in, but they're not their main card, right? Like I guess a main rookie card wouldn't be of the player playing golf. Yeah, so
golf card collectors like Mike Lacusta in the comments here. You could probably find them pretty cheap. Sounds like there might be some cool ones, but they're not investable. But good question, Mike. We appreciate it. So, okay, Richard, back to the investable stuff. We talked about the cup. We talked about potentially Black Diamond being one to stay away from just because you could get crushed on the value. How much is a box of the cup though? So we set Upper Deck Black Diamond is around 6 to 8 cards a box, about $400 to $600 Canadian a box. What about the cup? How much does that go for per box?
Per box is about 1,500 Canadian.
Okay. And I'm sure it depends a little bit on the year, right? So is there one year in the last, other than McDavid in 2015, is there one year in the last like 4 or 5 years that has like the best rookie class in it? That maybe sells for a little bit more than the others?
Well, just given that they have such a limit on them, the values just keep going up, right? Okay. So I look at even the 2017, that used to be the year where there weren't really any good rookies in that year. And then all of a sudden, Tage Thompson blows it out of the park and is one of the top scorers now and point getters. So now the 2017, because it's all ripped and they were cheap, I've never seen a drop from release price. I'll say that. Okay. Just given that. Yeah. So,
and the release price is always pretty similar. They don't do like a Panini did with Prism, where it's going to be a little bit less based on the quarterback class of 2022 versus 2020 and 2021, et cetera.
Unfortunately, they've only gone up. They've only gone up year over year. Okay. They are inserting better and better stuff in there. So I'll say that, right? So not only are you going after the rookies, I think that's a key part of this, because there's a lot of Wayne Gretzky autos in there. There's a lot of legends in there. Imagine if you pull a Gretzky, not just an auto, but a piece of his jersey, right? So there's a lot of other players you can hit. And every single team has legends in their team where you can hit. So there's value there because of that. So yeah, they're inserting more and more stuff in there. I'll just jump in. I know I've got Splendor in there for fun rip releases.
Yeah.
One of those years, it was just a Splendor would look like that card. And they're all autoed and have a patch, but there's only like one card in a box. They stopped producing this product now, so there's no Upper Deck Splendor, but they put all these Splendor cards in the cup cards. Same with Exquisite. Exquisite used to see that in Ice and used to see it in Black Diamond. Now it's all in the cup product. So that kind of brings down some of the values of some of these other, like the Black Diamond and the Ice and stuff like that, because you don't pull those kind of cards in those products anymore. Whereas in 2015, if you wanted to pull a McDavid Exquisite, it came from Upper Deck Ice.
Gotcha. So it sounds kind of like a little bit like a Panini Chronicles type of situation where they mix in some fun stuff in the fun rips, in the fun rips category. In terms of the historical significant buys, the cup sounds amazing. If you want to get in on a break of the cup, I assume people can hit you up on Instagram at cardboard.richard, correct? And at cardboard box breaks on Instagram.
Yeah, so cardboardboxbreaks.com, you can find all our links and socials there, right? So we do all our breaks live on Facebook, a little bit different than others, but we have a really strong group there in Facebook. And we ripped 5 cases of the cup last week, and I think 4 the previous week. So yeah, you're gonna have to join the group though first.
I know. I'm gonna have to join that group. I'm gonna have to get into that group, which I will.
Yeah, yeah. But so, yeah, join, and even if you're just there to watch, because it's amazing to watch, right? Like just to see the kind of cards that you can pull. Who knows? Maybe there's a golf card in there.
Get in there, Mike. Get in there, Mike Lacusta. All yeah. right. So Upper Deck Series 1. Well, let's not skip SP Authentic, because SP Authentic is a name that we all know from other sports as well. Golf. There's, you know, basketball. There's historic basketball cards from SP Authentic, Jordan, LeBron, all sorts of even Darius Garland, who was a Upper Deck exclusive signer. But talk us through how SP Authentic it like differs from the Cup in terms of price point, value, things to look for, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so right. So when you think of like the top cards, like a McDavid Future Watch Auto. So Future Watch is what you would get out of the SP Authentic. That's kind of what the product what you would want to pull from there. So those are all signed. The most common one is out of $999, and the most collected one and the most liquid one is out of $999. It seems like a lot,
yeah.
But they keep their value. So, and we can pull that up later as well with some of the McDavid stuff. It's not too far off from some of the Cup. For McDavid, it is quite a bit off from the Cup values, but SP Authentic is up there, right? We're still talking like a $15,000 card for McDavid Canadian. For those that are listening, it's about a 1.35 difference right now. So it's a big difference. When I'm talking 15,000, it might be more like 11,000 US for some of our US viewers. They're all signed autos. There's two versions. There's one that's signed, and then there's one that's inscribed. So the inscribed, it's a lower number in there. So it's not 999. Of the 999, there's usually 50 of them that are inscribed. And then there's out of 100 of them have, they're called Future Watch Auto patches. So it has their auto, and it has a patch of them as well. So I'll show you... a McDavid Future Watch Auto patch. So those are a little bit more rare than the out of $99.99. So again, the significance is simply you see that across many different sports, and that brand's been around for a long time. We see a lot of players over the generations with this type of card. So there's that collectability, right? If you want to collect a set, I don't want like a Crosby card and a Ovechkin card and a McDavid card all in different products. I want the same thing across, right? So even though it's a 20-year gap or difference.
Yeah, SP Authentic. Also, Tiger Woods has some iconic SP Authentic. So that's definitely a good brand to watch out for. Now, obviously, unique to hockey is Series 1 and Series 2. So let's talk about... Upper Deck Series 1 and Series 2. You mentioned Young Guns earlier. I'm on marketmoversapp.com right now, logged in, and basically the most liquid, to your point earlier, McDavid is all Young Guns, everything. But walk us through, like, what are we looking out for as hockey card investors, flippers in Series 1?
Yeah, in Series 1, this is what Young Guns, they're quite easy to pull in a box, which is nice. People like them because they grade well as well. A 10 and a 9 in PSA is not that difficult, and they're liquid, right? But at the same time, in these Upper Deck Series 1s, there's a couple different options. Yeah, that's a McDavid Young Guns, very iconic card. With that card, there's a couple different versions of it. This is kind of the base version in a sense. And then there is an exclusives out of 100. And then there is a high gloss out of 10. There's also an acetate version, a foil version that you can get out of it as well. Those are very, very short printed, right? And they jump in significant price between a base and exclusives. As well. So people love it because, yeah, you've got a pretty good chance at getting a McDavid. They've jumped up in value quite a bit over time. I remember telling my friend to buy some McDavid cards. And at the time, this is the cheapest McDavid rookie card. It was $250 in maybe 2015, 2016 or so. That same PSA 10 graded one is like $4,500 now, right? So it's jumped up quite a bit. You look at even a box of that, it used to be $100. Now they're about $1,500, right? So it's about 15x there. You can't go wrong with these series one and two. Why there's two series though is because they split up their rookies into two different series. So that's something you got to look out for, right? So I'll warn everyone, if you're looking for Bedard, people are starting to sell some pre-sales for Upper Deck Series 1. I'm pretty sure it's confirmed, but he's going to be in Series 2. So the thing is, he's not drafted yet, right? If they could have studio picks of him, but obviously if you're a generational player, we want a picture of him actually playing hockey, not a studio picture, right? They had some backlash from that from Lafreniere because that happened during COVID. He's likely going to be in Series 2. So we might have to wait a little bit longer. Series 1 should be released kind of in that September, October range. So we might need to give it a couple more months. But
okay, interesting. Yeah, so check the checklists, everybody.
Yes.
For your young guns, so you make sure you're buying the right product. Okay, cool. Well, I want to leave time for the top 10 McDavid cards and then any playoff predictions you want to make before we wrap up episode one. But anything else on this release list that you want to kind of call out in these three grids here? I think this is something I can post at nooffseason.com. We have hockey card rankings at nooffseason.com, which we're going to be updating based on this series with Cardboard Richard here. So stay tuned for that. But I would like to also post this grid here, courtesy of cardboardboxbreaks.com. I'll post it at nooffseason.com so you guys can check it out. But anything else you want to call out here, Richard, while we're on the topic?
Yeah, again, this is all my opinion, but I would have to say Upper Deck Uppeechee Platinum and Skybox Metal Universe. I got to give a shout out to both of these. And I think a lot of the non-hockey sport collectors would very much appreciate both of these products here. So I would say Uppeechee Platinum has really jumped out because of all the noise behind like the chrome cards, right? And the parallels and stuff. Hockey didn't have as many parallels in the past. Uppeechee Platinum has a lot of different colors, has the auto. It looks exactly like the chrome cards, right? So people very much appreciate that. That's really, really jumped up in value, and appreciation for Uppeechee Platinum is huge. If you look at Skybox Metal Universe, I'm a big precious metal gems collector. Like this is McDavid's version of a precious metal gems. This is his rookie. A couple things to point out. Only a couple years did they have precious metal gems. It came back out in 2019. So there's a big gap of players who don't have precious metal gems. So in 2019, they came back and printed these precious metal gems with a 1997 retro update. So the iconic Jordan precious metal gem. So those are considered their rookie cards. So even though in 2019, say Lasse Pettersson, he's a 2018 player, there wasn't any product in 2018 for him. So his rookie precious metal gem is 2019. Okay. Also for hockey, there was no precious metal gem release until 2012. So if you also look at some of this kind of stuff, your Crosbys, your Ovechkins of the world, their first precious metal gem came from 2012. So that's the very, very first set. So it's a little complex. That's why I love it, though. And that's why they're also very undervalued. They're pretty high up there now, but they were undervalued for a very, very long time because people just didn't understand them, right?
Yeah, Upper Deck Skybox Metal Universe seems to be a release where if you do your homework and you dig in, you can find some diamonds in the rough for sure. So Very, very cool. A lot. I think it's a low lift for sports card collectors and investors who haven't really dabbled in hockey too much to get into hockey. Because as we've talked about so far, we've talked about SP Authentic. We've talked about OPG. We've talked about Skybox Metal Universe. These are all brands that span all the other sport, like a lot of the other sports, or at least significant iconic athletes have cards in these brands in other sports, other releases. And then, of course, Series 1 and Series 2, pretty straightforward to follow. Young Guns, I mean, Upper Deck and Young Guns is a brand that goes back to the Junk Wax era, unfortunately, but fortunately from an awareness standpoint, you know, it's like, I think it's a low lift. And then the cup is just simple. Like that's the high-end product. That's your National Treasures, your Flawless, your, you know, if you're a baseball person, your Bowman Chrome First Auto, low serial number type stuff. So I think we should segue now into, unless you have anything else to add, Richard, it's up to you. But otherwise, I think we should segue into the top 10 Connor McDavid cards. What do you think?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, cool. So walk us through. Number 10 is the Young Guns here. Comment on the Young Guns as we go down the list.
No further comments on this, right? So it's up there at 10. It probably should be much higher up, but it's the cheapest way to get in, right? For a rookie card. So I know I'm talking big prices here for McDavid, but when you look at some of these other players who are even top rookies, we're talking $50-$60 you can get in and get yourself a Young Gun, right? So
and the entry price to McDavid, if you want to go gem mint PSA 10 US dollars, it looks like the entry level price is $3,000. Is that about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
There it is, a sports card investor. Okay, next, at number 9, we have a Fleer Showcase Hot Prospects Rookie Patch Auto out of 299. Talk us through this one.
Yeah, this is from the metal set. Now, this may be a little controversial here because not very much collected in the hobby. However, I put this on the list because when you think of wanting an auto, and a rookie patch auto, basically, this is the cheapest way to get in, right? This is a $2,000 card, basically, Canadian. Yeah, I think there's a lot of upside to this because you can get in at a very, very cheap value, beautiful patches, condition not the greatest. It is a sticker auto, but it's a great entry level because, again, you're talking half the price of McDavid Young Guns. Right, this looks way better than a McDavid Young Gun. So I put that in the list because I think there's a lot of value and upside to that.
Yeah, and there's only 299 of them. So to that point, it's half the price. And you know, it sounds like rarity over condition potentially on this one, and you know, price as well, entry price as well. So what do we got at number 8 here, Richard?
Yeah, I'm not going to touch on this too much. Number 8 is Ice Premieres for. The big hockey collectors, you'll know the Ice product. It's an acetate product. It's nothing fancy. It's out of 99. So that there is, this is his true rookie out of 99. I don't love it only for the fact that, and I put it on here, but I say I don't love it only for the fact that during our pandemic, they stopped producing this. And that's because they didn't have enough of that acetate material. So they, once you get rid of it in a sense and stop doing it, the momentum is dying. Right. And then you look at when their last product, I think it was 2017, 2018, there wasn't really good rookies in that. So there's just no momentum buildup from this product. And then you stop producing it. So, maybe it'll come back around. So I think the prices here have come down. There might be some opportunity because I don't doubt that Upper Deck wants to. This is a very historic product. It's just that it's a little bit of a gamble whether or not they'll continue with it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when you say it's his true rookie, just for everybody out there, kind of define what you mean by that, because it seems like you mentioned, for example, when we were talking about PMGs, you mentioned that it was so-and-so's PMG rookie. He hadn't had a PMG rookie yet. So in hockey cards, is it widely accepted that a player has a rookie card in every release? But then you say there's a true rookie. Maybe just define that for us.
Yeah, so when I say true rookie, there's a iconic rookie card of him that everyone's chasing, and then there's other subsets to it, like inserts and whatnot, right? So, but in this ice, there's autos of him, right? So you would have thought that the auto version of it would be his true rookie or the most sought after. But again, you go back to history. So they, I guess the hobby or the market decides, hey, this is the one that is the true one. And they're often lower numbered than the other ones. So although you might have auto or a patch in some of the other ones in the same product and of the same player, they're not as valued because either they just came out of it that year and decided we're going to get you to sign, right? Or they've just, again, there's more of them. So
gotcha.
It's a little complex. And that's why, when you look at number 8 and 7, it's a little confusing why these are true rookies.
Okay. So number 7, SP Game Used. Talk us through this one.
Also, this is probably the lowest numbered out of 97, his jersey number. Nothing fancy about it. If you know kind of thing. But this came from the SP Game Used product, where you would think every product should have a nice patch of him with his Game Used jersey. This has nothing, right? It looks like a base card to me, but it's very, very valuable. So, and it's because it's out of 97 and people have determined this is his true rookie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, the PMG.
Precious Metal Gems.
Or at least it's from Metal Universe. It's not necessarily a PMG, or is it? Number 6. Is this the red PMG?
This is the red PMG. This is his first one as well, because he wasn't drafted in 2012, right? So this is his first rookie one. So very much of value. He came in again in 2019 with the retro, but I would say this is the more sought after card. So there's a little bit of a debate there, but at the end of the day, I think rookie cards trump kind of a retro card, right?
Yeah, so whether you call it his rookie or his first, regardless, it's a very valuable card. First red PMG, Connor McDavid, very cool. Number 5.
So I think this is good for the audience to know as well. Number 5 is from the Premier product. This is probably the easiest entry point, the second easiest entry point to get a rookie patch auto of McDavid, because it looks just like his cup, right?
Yeah, it's sweet looking.
Sweet looking card. I don't get why it's in that $8,000-$9,000 range. It should be much, much more given the rarity of it. It's obviously not numbered out of 99, so that plays an impact. But the patches are always big and beautiful, like this. They're condition sensitive, though, similar to Black Diamond, because of the surfacing issue. So it's very hard, and maybe that's the reason why we haven't seen any crazy jumps in value, because people are scared to grade this. It's very difficult to get a 9.5 Beckett, very difficult to get a PSA. And while I'm in this topic, just really quickly, hockey cards, you'll notice a lot of hockey previous, the older cards were graded by Beckett, and especially thicker cards, they prefer Beckett. So you'll notice that trend as well. So yeah, you're welcome to cross over and whatnot, but you'll see a lot more Beckett graded cards with hockey.
Okay, even to this day, like would Beckett be the go-to even still, or more?
I wouldn't say the go-to, because PSA is clearly the go-to, but okay. I think there's a lot of crossing opportunities.
If
you feel there's better value, but then as you see with the hockey stuff, there's a lot of thicker cards, so Beckett does do a little bit better. Young Guns, no brainer. It's you want the PSA.
It's PSA. Okay. Yeah, this is a sweet card though. Number 5. It's a Premier Rookie Upper Deck out of 199. Sweet patch. Is that a sticker auto?
No, on card.
On card auto. Yeah.
On card auto, and you can buy a box for $500. It's similar, very similar to the cup, but we're talking 3 times less.
Is this a 2015 release?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, number 4. Ooh, OPG Platinum Marquee Rookie.
Yeah, so everyone loves their golds, right? Everyone loves There's an auto version of it as well. This is Matthew's auto version of it. Also his rookie, but this is like your Chrome product, right? So the different parallels, they've got the autos on there. They're low numbered, right? Like the auto one here is out of 25. This one's out of 50. So,
So is this a gold out of 50? Is that what it's considered?
Gold out of 50. There's an auto version out of 25. Yeah, this is already a 30, like a PSA 10 version would be like a $35,000 card at least. And then double for the auto.
Wow. All right. And at number three, speaking of autos.
Yeah. So when I talked about the Future Watch autos, from the SB Authentic, this is the patch version out of 100. So, beautiful, beautiful card. It is horizontal though. So, some people love it. Some people don't love it. Right.
Okay.
So that plays a factor in it, but a beautiful card. And I think a good value as well, because it's not too far off from the out of 999, right? This is, we're maybe talking like a we're talking about a raw card of this, maybe a $5,000 difference between the out of 999. So I think there's a lot of upside to this.
Yeah, this is a clean design, great action shot, on card auto, cool patch, out of 100. And I think Future Watch is a insert brand name that I'm familiar with, you know, and I'm curious to our audience, if you're a hockey card collector, if you're new to hockey card, I think the Future Watch auto has, you know, has some awareness to it. So, okay. In at number two, exquisite patch auto. This is amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to have to move quickly with it because for whatever reason, my battery's about to die here. So
got a couple minutes left. All right. Let's
do it. Cool. Exquisite. Everyone knows this brand, right? This is a bigger patch than the cup patch out of 97 as well, kind of similar to the SP game used. I love this card. I really do. So this came from the Ice product back in the day in 2015. So beautiful card.
All right, and then I assume this is our cup.
Yeah,
at number one out of 99, rookie patch auto on card.
99 is constantly breaking records for McDavid cards, so very much sought after. All of these are condition sensitive because they're thick cards, right? But we're seeing some PSA 10s and PSA 9s go for some big prices. So, beautiful cards.
Cardboard Richard. From Cardboard Box Breaks, check out cardboardboxbreaks.com on Instagram at cardboard.richard, on Twitter at cardboardrich. All right, our next episode is going to be previewing the draft, talking about the NHL draft this year. It's a big one with Connor Bedard coming up. So we'll get into more how to invest in hockey cards moving forward to make some money in that episode. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode number one of the Hockey Card Strategy Show with Cardboard Richard. Richard, anything else you want to add? Any playoff predictions or anything like that before we sign off for episode one?
Yeah, you talked about the draft. Paul, make sure you go check it out because it's in your hometown.
It's in Nashville. So I got to try to figure that out.
It's huge. You got to either watch in person or I don't know. Let me know closer to what you're going to do, but that's going to be very, very exciting times. And like an iconic moment there. Playoffs. It just started. So, and a lot of these teams are very, very close. Some big teams, some big players in there. I would say Boston is a favorite in my mind and in many people's mind. So I would actually stay away from investing in some of those players. I think they're at a peak right now, right? When a team or a player is expected to win, it's time to sell. In my mind, okay, because there's just not much upside. There's only really downside to it, right? Whereas I look at like your Colorado, maybe a McKinnon might repeat again. There's still a lot of upside with a lot of these players. What I will say though is because things move so quickly in the playoffs, it's a 7-series playoffs. They end in a week and a half. If you want to start investing in these kind of players for the playoff run, go with the young guns because they're the most liquid. If you're going for the cup product, you're not going to be able to move it quick enough, right? It's a big gamble. I'm not saying you can't, but it's a big gamble. Whereas the young guns, you can move and flip very easily because there's always transactions. There's always people buying. So if you want to pick, and I would also say this, always pick the best player on each team. So no different than football. In football, your quarterback.
Yeah.
So don't pick anyone else and try to stay away from a defenseman as well or a goalie. Goalie maybe, but I would say a forward and preferably a point getter or a goal scorer. Those are kind of the two you'd go for. Yeah.
Well, this is advice specifically for NHL playoff quick flips, right? Go young guns, PSA 10, best player on the team, goal scoring forward, basically.
Yeah, for flips. This is your time to flip. This is, while you're placing a bet on the game, you might as well place a bet on a PSA 10 young gun. So
absolutely. It's going to be hard for me not to. And I just joined the Facebook group while you were giving that wonderful advice. So hopefully you'll see my submission. I'll be in there with the rest of you guys. And I want everybody else to check that out as well. I'm very, very fortunate to have met Cardboard Richard at the Mint Collective. We're just starting to scratch the surface on some hockey card content that we're creating together here at nooffseason.com. All right, Richard, thanks again for being on the show today. Power packed hour. Everybody, don't forget to check us out in episode 2 of the Hockey Card Strategy Show coming up closer to the draft time. Hopefully nooffseason.com will be at the draft. Stay tuned for that. All right, Richard, awesome, have a good one, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you again.
All right, bye, everybody. Pleasure. Have a great day.